Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a real favourite of mine who got into comedy somewhat by accident after drunkenly signing up for a stand-up course as a New Year's resolution to get over a phobia of public speaking. Whilst it didn't work right away, this experience began the career of a now very busy comic who expertly mines their life for comedy gold. Here to do that on the topic of dating, perhaps, it's Vic Slayton.
Hi. Yeah, that's all absolutely true. I didn't realise that all the bad dates I've ever been on, it was actually just research and material. It all makes sense now, the life I've had to lead to get to where I got to. So, yeah, if you're going through a bad dating time, guys, hold on. You never know when it's going to be useful.
So you're here to debunk anyone that thinks, no, comedians can make anything funny. You're like, no, you need trauma. You need some shit that you've gone through, and then you shine that up.
That's the beauty of doing new material gigs. Sometimes you tell a story and you're not sure if it's comedy or trauma yet, and you have to see how the audience respond. And if they're doing that little head tilt at you and you get awe instead of laughs, you're like, oh, maybe I'm not ready to talk about this yet. I've got a bit of work to do here. I thought I was fine. So yeah, it is an interesting interplay between things you find darkly funny and things that are interpreted as quite tragic by the ears that they go into. So I guess we'll find out, Bobby, if these are trauma tales or funny tales.
And it's funny you say that, because that does happen here all the time, where somebody will be telling their story that kicks us off and they realize like their laughter goes from humor to horror as they tell the story, and they're like, this was actually quite traumatic.
Yeah, this is hilarious. Why am I crying?
All right, so shall we get into your story and see which direction it goes in?
Well, this is like, I guess there's two routes. There's the route where I'm the victim, or there's the route where I am the nasty perpetrator. So which one do you want?
I can't see you as the nasty anything in my head, so I'm kind of intrigued by that option.
All right. So I went on a Match.com date with a fella from Chester, and his username has stuck with me for my whole life. It was the Goat of Mendes. I don't know why I remember that, because I can't remember my friend's birthday. So I don't know why that is like vivid in my mind. And Chester's quite far away from where I was at the time, which was Cardiff. So it was about 4 or 5 hours on a train. So not cheap, but he'd made the commitment to come and see me. We'd been talking back and forth for months furtively, because Match.com, I walked so Tinder could run. I was in the first wave of online daters, right? I was doing it before it was cool. I don't want to say I'm hipster about it, because there was nothing cool about this, even in reverse. Like, even looking back at it now, it wasn't cool. It was a numbers game. I wanted a boyfriend. I was throwing it. I was willing to try everything. But if someone had asked me how me and Goat of Mendes had met at my wedding at the time, I would have probably lied and said, oh, we met at a party, because that... it was not normal to meet online. It was weird. It was furtive. The people that were online exist in a separate little world. So this is the backdrop to which I met this lovely man from Chester, who within seconds of him arriving, it was very clear that he was a real artist in terms of angles for photos, because this is before filters. So we're talking, got to be about 12 or 13 years ago at least. And yeah, fair play to him. I want to know what his secret was, because he did not look like anything like the photos. And I'm not a completely shallow person, but I think there's got to be a spark of something. And he looked like his head was a paper mache balloon.
Basically, seems a very basic requirement on online dating.
His head was so big. And, you know, I've dated people with big heads before. And if in the grand scheme of things, if it blends in with all the other things I like, I don't notice. But I remember his username, and I remember his big balloon paper mache head. And the worst part was I was disappointed. He didn't seem disappointed, which was a win for me. So I've got quite low self-esteem, and we couldn't get chat going at all. So we were sat in the pub, and he revealed that there were no Wetherspoons pubs at the time in Chester, and there were 7 in and around Cardiff city centre. So I thought, we can theme this date, so we'll have something to talk about and keep it moving. Let's visit all 7. We will visit all 7 Wetherspoons together, me and this man. And I was legless by Wetherspoons 4, I imagine. The drinks were really cheap. This is before we knew that he was a morally repugnant man, Mr. Wetherspoon. I was, wasted. And this man was not getting any hotter to me, which is extraordinary. And also he wasn't getting any more interesting. So it culminated in me drawing my Wetherspoons tour short and taking him to a rock club where I fancied the barman. Because I was like, I'm going to see my favourite barman in my favourite rock club. And so I put old balloon head at the end of the bar and went to chat up my barman. And over the course of the conversation, to keep it going, I told the barman that I was interested in working at this club, Metros in Cardiff. And I was like, yeah, I'm interested in working here. We should do it. I think in my mind, I was going to exchange numbers with him. He was going to put me in touch with someone the next day, but then I'd have his number. So there was a bit of a strategy behind it. He got the manager. I was interviewed there and then. And despite being Wetherspoons legless, I was given the job. So my bluff was firmly called on that. But we'll come back to that. So all this time, this man that had come all the way from Chester is like dead eyeing me down the bar. And at that moment, like I reckon I was about 22 at the oldest. So I was not very mature. I was not ready to have an adult conversation with this person that had come all that way. So my solution was to go to the toilet and not come back. I ghosted him. I rang my dad because I was living
in
at home
real
at the time.
Life
I literally Irish goodbyed out of there. Yep, went to the toilet and I just sat on the toilet and I hadn't planned it per se, but I sat on the toilet and I just thought, I can't go back. I've already got a job that I don't want. This night is done. I cannot be trusted to be out. So I got outside and I was running. I probably didn't need to run. It was just drama. I was in the moment, started running, rang up my dad. My dad knew I was on an online date. I told him all the information because obviously I didn't want to be murdered. And he heard me running on the phone. I was like, Dad, you need to come and collect me. And he's like, why? He's like, I've done a runner from this date. He's like, what did he do? I was like, he was just really boring. Yeah, I left him there looking at his successor effectively. And text him to say that I was ill and that I'd had to go home, but I don't feel good about it because obviously he booked a fancy hotel, which I think is presumptuous because even if it had gone very well, I wouldn't have done that. I don't think. I mean, maybe I would have, but in my mind, I was not that gal. And I think I'd said that when he came down. I was like, you can book a hotel if you want, but I won't be staying there. And he did. He booked like quite a fancy hotel. And then he had to presumably go back to it, get into bed, think about all the decisions he'd made that got him to that point. If you're listening, go with Mendes, I'm really sorry. The thing that might cheer him up is I was also too immature and too embarrassed to tell the hot barman that I actually didn't need a job because I had a job. I was working full-time in car insurance at that point. So I worked a second job for 2 weeks out of embarrassment. I did 9 to 6 in a call center selling car insurance. Then at 8 o'clock, I went to work until 3 behind the bar in a rock club. Just for the worst money I've ever been paid. I was never more tired. And he wasn't even fit because I'd only ever met him drunk. So I was in this rock club that was like a late night rock club, basically. So I'd only ever seen him when I was absolutely smashed. And in the cold light of sober day, wasn't all that. So I was punished for my behaviour. It's what I'm saying. But I also acknowledge that behavior was not good. So yeah, that's probably my most interesting, well, certainly the most far reaching of consequence as a first date that didn't become a second.
I love it. There is so much to unpack there. First off, I think you need to get some points for getting a job on a date.
The employment threshold was very low in that club. Do you know what? I did enjoy 2 weeks working there.
Good. I mean, that is the last outcome I expected when you started this story. And I am kind of proud of you because I am somebody that perhaps this show is an example of it, where I seem to be great at a lot of things around getting into a relationship. Like,
some relationship advice is like treat a first date like an interview. I had an interview on a first date. So, you know, I just misinterpreted the advice.
I do have questions. So,
okay,
the escape from said date, how did that happen? Because you go to the toilet, but is that by the exit or did you have to go there to strategize and then run past him?
No, fortunately, it was a basement bar and the toilets were upstairs. So it was such, I don't think I would have done it if it had required any kind of risk that I would be apprehended. So I could basically, if if a woman had opened the door and I'd opened my cubicle, I could see my escape route from the toilet. So it was like sharp exit. It was, yeah, it was a very smooth transition from the club, to be honest.
But you still did actually commit to going to the toilet. So you had your whole cover.
Yeah, exactly. I genuinely, that was true. Like, I wouldn't have lied about it. I did need a wee, but also I need to get the hell out of there, which I didn't anticipate until I sat down. So just the idea, you know, when you sit a situation and the idea of going back, I was like, I've somehow extricated myself out of it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it a second time, because he was starting to try it on in a really sweet and gentle way. So like, he was trying to hold my hand to the point where I was seeing that happen in slow motion and moving my handbag to the hand that he was trying to hold, like, swiftly, to make sure that I didn't have to like slap his hand away. So I didn't want to be rude. But that was like, by the end, I was like juggling the handbag. So he was like playing him from side to side. He was trying his best to make a move. Like, one thing about him, he could not read social cues. So I don't think anything about my behavior suggested that's what I wanted from the night. But yeah.
Right. It's interesting though, isn't it? Like, how we read these situations, and something that a lot of comedians seem to have in common, and something I relate to a lot, is that you can go into this kind of performer mode on a date, where sometimes it's going so badly that you're like, okay, well, here's where my funny kicks in.
I'm a PR person as well, so I'm used to it. Effectively, media relations is going on a lot of dates with journalists, like, that you don't know. You have to ring them up, you have to ask them out to lunch or for drinks or for a coffee, and then regardless of how you feel about them, they have to like you and believe that you like them, because you need to work with them ongoing. So I think I've developed that craft over time of, I can go onto autopilot and put a show on. So maybe he didn't realize that I wasn't into it, because I'm polite and
this is
I love a laugh, so I want the praise. I want to be entertaining. I wanted a good review from that date, regardless. I was like, I know this is not a thing. I want you to have wanted me to have wanted you, because I'm nuts. So
that part right there, I think fully he must have been having a great time. And I believe it. And I hope so.
He spent a lot of money.
See, there's the performing you. You're like, he needs to get his ticket price. But
it's so cheap.
I fell so far down that rabbit hole recently, where I went on a really awkward date and just the conversation wasn't flowing, and I stayed far too long, which I should know better than by now, but I'd gone so far down that route of like, okay, I'm in performer mode now, because the conversation was so bad that I was having to really kick that up a notch, to the point where then at the end of the day, it had objectively gone badly. There was no chemistry. You know, sometimes it happens. It wasn't horrible, but it certainly wasn't great. And then I realized in hindsight, I was looking for a good review of my performance, as opposed to, do you know what I mean? That had superseded. Yeah. It was no longer about, do we like each other? Because that had been answered. It was then, did you have a fun time? And actually, I should have just called it a lot sooner.
Because this is what I've heard about like modern dating, that people don't waste their time anymore. Like, they are having coffees, they're not going for longer things. It's like, oh, don't do an activity, you might be stuck with somebody. But I just didn't think that was an option when I was going on my bad dates. I just thought, yeah, this is mine to endure until it is polite to leave.
I think it really helps to sort of lower the stakes. And I will say, the fact that you texted him is something. So it's not true ghosting in that respect.
So it was
when I was at home, though. I didn't want to take any chances. I mean, it wasn't the next day, but it was not immediate. Like, I ran away. But I think because at the time I just couldn't come up with a good excuse. And then I thought, oh, gastric distress, that is the least sexy thing in the world. He will be glad that I am away from him.
And if he's somehow not, and he's actually into that, then you are far away and you don't have to find out in proximity.
Yeah. It's like the whole Guardian blind dates effect, isn't it? Like, do you read Justin Myers's critiques of Guardian blind dates column?
No.
Oh, you should. It's amazing. So basically they send these people out on a blind date and then it gets written up and they each have a colour and it's like, what did you expect from the day? How did it go? Any awkward moments? And they each feedback separately and then they score each other at the end. And so Justin Myers, the guyliner, does like for his blog a critique of their answers and deconstructs what they say versus what they mean. And some of the scoring is so disparate. So somebody's had a 10 out of 10 time, someone's had a 3 out of 10 time, and they thought that the other person had an awful time. We don't know, do we? You never know what's going on in someone's head. If I learn anything from that column, it's that. But and it's usually the women say they talk too much. And there are just these common things where you sort of see sort of traditional notions of gender role play out where women are like, oh, I thought I was a bit much for them, or I thought I talked too much. And like you don't ever see that replicated in the man column.
The men are like, I didn't speak nearly enough.
Yeah. I really feel she got to know the real me.
I could see that. I'm going to have to search that out. That sounds really good.
Anyone who listens to this podcast will love this content. I promise you. Every Saturday, I look forward to it. Some days he doesn't do it because he's like busy living his life, which is totally fine. But I am often distraught on a Saturday morning when he's like, no first dates today. Like,
you are quietly raging. And this is the thing, right? People do love to hear about bad dates. And that's kind of like some kind of graduation where you no longer have to go on them. You just have to hear about them. Yes. And so I get that from married people a lot where they're like, oh, it's just so exciting, the whole dating thing. You know, I'm so jealous. And I'm like, yeah, but you're staying in your marriage, aren't you? Like, jealous up to a point.
I get like that about new friends now, though, because I do love that kind of the sparkle of any kind of new connection with people. So, I get carried away. So I get friend crushes all the time where I will, yeah. Basically feel like I'm dating someone, like I want to present my best self to you and I want us to be buddies forever. And like, so I think I try and keep that magic alive. And the friends that I've got are okay with that. Some of them, I'm not for everyone, and that's fine. But I think, yeah, I love that. There's nothing better than making any kind of new connection. I think that's what kind of drives me and keeps me feeling connected to the world. Yeah,
no, that's really cute. I'm similar, where I get really into understanding new people. And so if I have like a new friend that I'm getting to know, it tends to be quite quick. And I'm such an extrovert, and I have a lot of introvert friends that I basically adopt. I'm like, you seem cool. And yes, now I've got to like quickly get to know you whilst also not overwhelming you.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know where the line is, because I can maintain about 40 different conversations a day over WhatsApp. So people think they're getting like the spotlight of my love, but they're not. I'm just, my attention span is so short that I can be doing three different things at once. So I'm talking to you on Twitter, I'm talking to you on LinkedIn, I'm talking to you, like, no channel is out of bounds for me. But when you find somebody who matches that energy, it's so spectacular. It's like genuinely, yeah, it's like
dating. Oh yeah. When I meet somebody more extroverted than me, it's so exciting. And I'm fully happy to commit to that and be like, oh, I'll be the introvert. You just tell me where we're going and what we're doing. Because it's just so unusual to me. And so that kind of ability to network so successfully and keep all these conversations going. Am I right in imagining then when you were in the dating pool, you were very much going at it full out?
Oh yeah, I don't get embarrassed about stuff like that either. Like, I wouldn't be somebody who's like furtively. It's like, no, I am looking for a partner and I am all in. And if you don't like it, that's on you. So I was, yeah, I cast the net quite wide, I'd say, in pursuit. But yeah, I went on a date with somebody that I'd been pursuing from when I was working in the call center, and we never even kissed, right? We went on what could only be described as dates. Like, it was just the two of us. Like, we texted each other a lot. He was quite flaky. So when the dates did happen, they were like unicorns. Like, I never expected it to happen. And then when they did, I was like, this is amazing. But the last not date we went on, I fell in front of a bus. And I was so embarrassed about it that fight or flight mode kicks in and I just lay there and accepted death. I was just like, I can't ever recover from this. This guy has just seen me stack it. My shoe is caught in the road. This bus is on its way. This is it. So it ends. Fine. this is fine. And then he rescued me and he was like, saved my life. That's what he tells everyone. And he tells everyone for ages. And then every time he told the story, the bus was slightly closer to me. So I think it was probably about a good few meters away. But by the end of this urban legend story that got around work, he had pulled me to safety seconds before my untimely demise. But I was really mentally quite committed to him as a boyfriend, and he did not have that level of commitment to even going to the pub with me. So it's like I was moaning about poor old Goat of Mendes's reading of social cues. I wasn't great at that either.
Yeah, and this is it. We can get so into we really want it to work, and that can supersede any kind of reality of whether or not it should.
I've got terrible main character syndrome as well. So I can, oh my God, I can project onto anything. I can project any behavior into any narrative to suit my purpose when it's the, which is not, it's not ideal.
Yes, I know what you mean. You find yourself going to levels of depth of analysis with people. And actually, most people are a lot more straightforward. Yeah. They're just seeing how it goes. And that must be really nice while we're being like, oh no, we need to have everything planned.
I'd give emotional depth to you where there was none. Like, oh, maybe he hasn't replied because he's intimidated by my big energy, or maybe I am more than him, or maybe it's this. Maybe he just didn't reply, Vix. Maybe he's just not that interested, love. Like, but no.
Yeah, maybe it's 2 p.m. on a Thursday and he's at work and his phone is off, you know?
No, it can't be.
Maybe he's been run over. Maybe he's died. But I guess one thing that I used to always advocate as friends, and one thing that I did always adhere to, is I would always rather know rather than skirt around the edges. So if I was like into someone, I would ask them out. I would give it a crack because I'd rather know that it was a no than try and speculate on it, because I know what I'm like. I'm so neurotic that it was tiresome. I was bored of my own behavior. So I'd always say to mates, and they're like, oh, what do you think this text means? I was like, do you know how you find out? Ask them for a drink. Like, and it was honestly, it was like as revolutionary as when people are looking for an amazing diet plan and you go, yeah, I probably should just eat better and exercise more. And they're like, no one wants to hear that. It's too straightforward, isn't it? And it's it's too achievable, but it requires work. So it's like, oh no, I'm going to go around the garden 3 times. I'm going to light a candle. And if a cat comes to the garden, then he's interested. Oh, I was like, or you could just ask. And they're like, nah, I'm going to try the garden thing first, if that's cool. And maybe.
That is such a wonderful encapsulation of both dieting and dating. I think you get more points right there, because I love that. And you're so right, because people will go to great lengths with like dieting, for example. They'll be like, oh no, I'll do this thing that takes like 2 weeks to research and memorize all the rules of. By which point they've lost interest. But it's like, well, if you're actually trying to avoid changing your lifestyle because watching the YouTube videos about it is more fun or less work, then, you know, it makes sense. And I guess we could do that with dating. It's like the fear of rejection. It's like, or I could sit here and analyze this text and not be rejected, because what I'm actually doing is ignoring them. But in my head, I'm not ignoring them because I'm busy working on this message.
I'm in the game. Like if they, because that used to be a really easy trick as well. Like once they texted back, the pressure was off and you're like, I'm in control now. When actually maybe they didn't really care if they got a reply or not. But in my mind, it was like, game on. The ball's back in my court. But yeah, it's a good job I'm married now, because I was a nightmare. But it's true. I think people don't want the easiest answer to be true. And often it is, isn't it? And it's true with comedy. People get in touch because I've done a lot of work to try and sort of climb the ladder, and people want the magic bullet. They want to know that I found some magic beans in a bag, grew a beanstalk, a giant bestowed comedy powers on me, and then I came back down and I got onto really cool gigs. But I've just put that, it's just graft. Like I've done hundreds of gigs. I do so much follow-up. I make sure I talk to promoters. I do all the work. I share all the posters. It's graft. For every picture on Instagram you see of me on a stage, loads of work has gone into getting there. And people want a quick solution to a lot of things, whether it is dieting or changing your life or finding a partner. Sometimes it is, you can't put the work in. You've got to go on the bad dates to find the good dates. Yeah. I went on a lot of bad dates. I kissed a lot of frogs.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm interested with what you said about finding out with friends if it's going anywhere, because I think a lot of people go through that and they're looking for an easy answer there of like, what's the perfect strategy? At what point do you declare your interest? And I think for me, there comes a point where it gets more complicated if you don't. So if, for example, you're putting more effort in and you're building up your connection to this person, there's a certain point where you might accidentally cement a friendship that is too strong to compromise in your pursuit to try and set up a good connection to then feel brave enough to ask them.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes the levels of investment are different. I've got a lot of boy mates who I see from the outside, and I always call them out on it, inadvertently will give women the girlfriend experience because they enjoy the company of somebody who, you know, like regular company of like girl mates with maybe a bit of a spark to it. So they're seeing them, they're going for drinks one-on-one. And like, if I was the girl in that scenario, I'd be like, yeah, I think we're dating. Whereas they'll be like, nah, it's just my mate. It's like, do they know that though? Because if you're texting them good morning and good night, because you've not actually got anybody romantic on the roster that you're doing that with, are you giving them the wrong impression? Because it's easily done. It's like, attention's really nice, isn't it? And I think I've seen a lot of my mates ambushed by that because they've got someone in their life that is a sort of consistent point, and then their heads get turned by somebody else and then they sort of disappear again, and all that work that my mate thinks they put in, it was always a friendship on the other side. And I'm sure it's guys the same way, but it's like, I guess women probably talk about this stuff more. So I've got more female perspective than male perspectives, because I expect, because attention is nice. I think it's a human nature to want that level of attention, and it is quite nice to be fancied, isn't it? So I think it's quite easy to sort of fall down that road where you allow it to be a little bit flirtier maybe, and the lines get blurred. But it is tough then, I think, because like you said, and then you've cemented the friendship, but you don't want to ruin that friendship, but you're also not interested in taking the next step. It's a gray area. I hear about this a lot from my single friends. So
yeah, such a conundrum. And I'm trying to kind of wrap my head around it, because I think you're right about there is a difference with the male perspective in this, because it absolutely happens the opposite way around. But I think sometimes guys don't feel that they can think too much about whether or not that other person might be interested, because we're perhaps so pumped up on this sort of old fashioned notion of like, the guy chooses and whoever else, they are like, oh, wow, I didn't know you liked me. And then make a decision in the moment. The idea that somebody could have a whole fully formed thought about you and actually analysed you to some depth with their friends before you ask them out is quite intimidating. And so I think a lot of guys, perhaps it's a mixture of we don't talk about it as much, but also sometimes we don't want to think about that as much. And I think your strategy of, get to a point where you're like, no, I just want to know what's happening now, and either of you declare an interest.
That was just always the quickest bit of advice when people were agonizing over, oh, it was two kisses yesterday and it's one kiss today. I'm like, ask them out. And sometimes it worked out and they did ask them out and they went on dates and then they were together and it was amazing. So, and sometimes it didn't work out, but you're not wasting your time on something that's not a thing. And, you know, slow burn things sort of develop as well. You hear people who've been friends for years and years that suddenly one night see each other across the room and spark something up. So there's no, I guess it's so personal and we're all so different that you can't make any rules because they get broken all the time by everyone. So it is really hard to, and you can see why people want to put a framework in to go, oh, what do two kisses mean versus one? But you can see why people are struggling to put structure behind it, because it is the most random, nonsensical thing that happens to us as humans, where you just meet someone and go, you're my one forever. Like, it's...
Yeah. The only sort of visual I have for it as you're describing it there is it's like trying to keep loads of levels on a very complicated keyboard. And it's like, they're all constantly changing. So it's sort of... There are some things you can consider, but ultimately it is anyone's guess where the perfect time to declare your interest.
It's super interesting to see all these like variations come out as well. So like people who are really happy in like polyamorous relationships or with multiple partners. Like it's really, I think it's so cool for people coming into dating that they've got that space to not just commit immediately to one person and go, this is it, when you're very young and you're still growing up and you're working out who you are. I think there is a lot more space now for exploration. I think I think that's really cool. I think I would have got a lot out of that when I was a single gal. So I'm a bit jealous of the modern way of doing things. But also I look at it and I'm like, nah, that's not for me. I'm not.
Yeah, I think the truth is maybe somewhere in there.
It looks like an absolute hellscape.
Yeah, I appreciate your optimism, but I think we can both acknowledge, based on your past experiences and my current ones, what we think how wonderful and straightforward it might be is very different in reality.
Straightforward never, but yeah, just there's not one way of doing things. And I think anywhere where you can get that safety and comfort in doing things that are outside the norm without feeling like you're outside the norm, I'm for all of that. Like,
I want to award points for the concept of that. Not even sure if that's the rules at this point, but like you say, the rules...
They're your rules. It's your game.
Yeah, but then also, like you're saying, can we set
any rules? Give me more points if you want to.
Yeah, not complaining, take a little dance there. So I think we should, on that note, move to our rules of the game and see if we can successfully suggest one that people could take or leave. So do you have anything in mind that you try and live by in dating or relationships you could recommend?
I think, like I said, it's like knowing is better than not knowing. Knowing is better than speculation. So whether you've got an issue within a relationship or whether you're not sure if somebody is interested in you, I think where you can ask, where you're comfortable to ask, or where you can make yourself comfortable to ask, that is the quickest route to the least pain, you know, whatever the scenario is. I think communication is the one. So I'd say ask. If you're not sure, ask. That's probably my vibe. That would be a rule.
And I will
be honest and like be the person that you would want the other person to be as well. So if you're in a situation where you think maybe they're going romantically away on it and you're not feeling it, be the person that you need if you're in that situation. So
yeah, more points.
The guru, what can I say?
Were you saying off air you were going to get competitive about the points, so we've both got something to live up to.
Yeah, you were like, oh yeah, have you done any prep for this? I was like, maybe. I'm that person that says they haven't done their homework and then I'm like, surprise.
I love that.
Under promise, over deliver is my vibe across the board. Yes.
And I think I'm going to donate a rule that I've just made up that kind of relates to yours, which is there will be times where you want to know what's going on. But for me anyway, it can be really helpful to run things by a friend as well and be like, okay, this is the situation. This is the message I've received. This is what I've decided it is that they mean. Can we just double check here? Because I think that we all know to an extent, and certainly the more dating you do, you know when you're overanalyzing or you're coming to a conclusion that maybe you want to. And as annoying as it can be to have that gut feeling of you're probably reading this in the way you want to, or you're not objective at all in this situation.
And it works both ways. Sometimes you read something negatively and it's not like, oh, I can't see you this week because I'm really busy at work. Sometimes that means I can't see you this week because I'm really busy at work. And I've been shown those texts as well, where they're like, well, it's done, I'm not going to talk to them again. It's like, well, it's not. Maybe they are busy this week. So I think it goes both ways. It's not always like you might be overhyping it. Sometimes you might be underplaying it because you're scared of being hurt, so you pull the trigger first. So I like that rule. I think running a draft past somebody, it's never a bad thing, whether it's friendship, exactly, whether it's like a resignation from work. Like, so get a second pair of eyes on it. If there's anything emotional attached, make sure you're not.
Yes. Make sure you're get reading yourself a friend like there. Vix.
Yeah, I'm available. Slide into my DMs, I'll tell you what I think. You might not want to hear it, but I will.
Yeah, all the things to slide in someone's DMs for. You're like, I've got opinions, they're waiting, they're stacked up and ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. I've got views, strong views. Right.
No, I love that. And I definitely at times find that I kind of go into that weird spiral where you realize you don't know what's going on. And sometimes that can be exciting, but we also need some level of reality. And I've certainly confused. Okay, here's the thing I've been thinking about recently. Looking back at a lot of relationships that have been sort of turbulent, but exciting and short-lived. And I've had a few of those, particularly when I was younger.
Yeah.
I definitely was making the mistake of confusing excitement for love, you know, that kind of adrenaline and potentially like fear of what the fuck is going on, I don't really understand, for excitement.
Well, I think we're socially conditioned to, because it's all drama, isn't it? All the books you read, like no romantic stories or romance films or rom-coms are these people met and they communicated really clearly and they had a nice life. Like, that's not how pop culture has taught us. It's got to be drama. It's got to be like, have a fight in the rain and then make up and kiss. It's like, I think it's very easy to interpret what can be quite bad behavior or incompatible behavior as just the drama of it. Like, oh, we don't get on when we see each other, but there's a sexy energy. And then they're still texting me. So it must be love. What's drawing us back to each other? And it's like, could be loneliness. It could be lack of other options. It could, like, contextually, it's probably not your soulmates.
Yes, absolutely. And I find in that way, the way I pick friends is something that I'm trying to do more in dating now, and be like, okay, the people that I can chat to in depth straight away and we just naturally have free-flowing conversation, and but it's clear that we both get on, and I'm not walking away from it being like, I don't know what that situation was.
Yeah, all those like ultimatum conversations that you're getting in, like, oh, if you cared about me, you'd do this. It's like, well, it doesn't need to be that hard. That sounds tiring. But also, I will say those sort of tempestuous ones are the ones that I've remembered. And I guess I can't cancel against them, because the highs and lows sometimes are so high that it is worth the drama. Like, I think you need a little bit of everything to know what is for you. So yeah, I don't advocate for a boring life. Try things out.
Yeah.
So I'm doing comedy.
Yeah, I'll take that. I mean, I've definitely...
I'm like a new comedian at 37, looking at all these young people going, what am I doing with my life? And like, I wouldn't change it, so...
Yeah, we've definitely got some stories along the way.
Yeah, exactly. This would be a really boring podcast if everyone took our advice.
Maybe the listeners are allowed to, but the future guests, it's be like, no, come with complications. We want to get into them.
Yeah, we'll do this so you don't have to.
Yes, that is something that I could do with no trouble, because I'm not entirely sure how to date in a way that is free of turbulence. So
maybe you're the problem.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure that's not true. Fired. You're an absolute delight. That was not true at all. Yeah. So I think we've solved all the world's problems, right?
Yes. Yeah. We'll leave it maybe on that cliffhanger of, am I the problem? I'm certainly trying not to be. And I think I'm getting better at feeling confident that that is the truth. So I guess that's all the answer I have to that right now. But thank you so much for joining me. It's been so lovely to catch up. If people want to find you online, go experience more of your work.
At PR Vix for the DM Twitter advice. I'm your girl. The DMs are open. Not to be offered an atomic wedgie opportunity, as I was the other day, by a guy called, I think his name was like Wedgie Steve. He was like, how much would you charge to give me an atomic wedgie? I don't want that kind of content, but love dilemmas. Here for it. I've got a podcast, The Comedy Arcade, which is a panel show where I capriciously award points for things I enjoy. So there's some synergy here, I think, between yours and mine. And yeah, Instagram Vix Layton, that's where I do all my showing off. So don't believe the hype on that, but the pictures are nice. I'm a trading standards issue, to be honest. I love a filter and I'm not ashamed of it. But, but yeah, I think that's broadly all the places you can find me, and all over the place doing stand-up. So odds are I'll be in your town somewhere, wherever you live.
And I have to ask you, before all the listeners DM me this question, what is an atomic wedgie?
It's a wedgie that's done at such strength and velocity that it rips the pants, and then you put the pants over your shoulders like you're a superhero. Yeah, I googled that again, so you didn't have to.
Yeah, something for every. I mean, if anyone wants to come claim that man, he's in your DMs.
How do you know you're into that, though? Is it like, you know, when you get like your dressing gown sleeve caught on a doorknob and get yanked and you go, ooh, sexy? Like, how do you know that you want to be atomic wedgied? I'm right in. I need to know.
I've got nothing. Scary. Good. Scary thoughts. All right. Well, we'll wrap at that.
On that note.
Thanks again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. What a sinister note to end on.
Thanks for listening. You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.